Every year on Palm Sunday and Good Friday, we read the Passion together. And in each of the Gospels, we hear the exact same small detail, that Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and that he buried Jesus in his own family tomb. This year, a friend shared with me how he thought that conversation went. So Joseph says, "Procurator, I'd like the body of Jesus." And Pilate says, "What do you intend to do with it?" And Joseph says, "I'm going to bury it in my own family tomb." Pilate asked, "Why would you bury his body in your own expensive family tomb?" To which Joseph replied, "Well, he only needs it for the weekend." It's funny, but there's actually a truth to that. You see, Joseph, who is described in Scripture as a righteous man, wanted to follow Jewish law. And there were two Jewish laws involved with the burial of Jesus. One was that a body had to be buried within 24 hours after death. Since Jesus died in the evening twilight on Good Friday, he had to be buried before nightfall on the next day. But you see, Saturday is the Sabbath, and burials couldn't be done on the Sabbath. So waiting until darkness on the Sabbath would break the 24-hour rule. Now, there was no law that prohibited a reburial. So it's extremely possible, entirely possible, that Joseph allowed the burial, fully expecting that the followers of Jesus who came the next day to the tomb would take the body after the Sabbath to be buried in a pauper's grave. Since even if the family of Jesus had a family tomb, it would have been in Nazareth and not in Jerusalem. But of course, we know that Jesus indeed only needed the tomb for the weekend. We celebrated the fact of the resurrection last weekend and the joy that it brought. Today, I want to reflect on the effect of the resurrection, something that has always been in the liturgy of the church, but something that Pope St. John Paul II emphasized 25 years ago this month when he celebrated Mass on this Sunday under a new title, Divine Mercy Sunday. And each of the readings today mention in their last line something that is considered the lex suprema, the supreme law of the church. And what is it? It's the salvation of souls. That's the purpose of the church, to cooperate with God, meaning to work together with God, to assist souls on their journey through this life and to help them to get to heaven. But make no mistake, we don't get to heaven because we're good people. We only get to heaven through the mercy of God, divine mercy. Let's reflect on that mercy through three of the Beatitudes as revealed in the Gospel today. Blessed are they who mourn, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and blessed are the merciful. How mournful do you think the apostles were? Not only had they placed all of their hope in Jesus, only to see him tortured and killed, but they also had to deal with the fact that they had abandoned him. And Jesus comes to where they're gathered, even though it's locked, and there's no chastisement, there's no blame, there's no harsh words. What does he say? Peace be with you. The Greek word used in Scripture for peace is where we get the English word irenic. And it's not just calm down. It's a restoration of the gift of God's wholeness. How often do we mourn? As a pastor, I mourn a lot because I have been and will be with so many of you at the deaths of your loved ones. And I share in your mourning. But it is from this suffering and death that Jesus came to deliver us, to save our souls. That's what Jesus offered his apostles, his peace, his wholeness, his salvation. And it's rooted in the next two Beatitudes. First, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There are many in sacred scripture who were called righteous. We think of Abraham, of Zechariah, of Saint Joseph, Saint John the Baptist, and even Joseph of Arimathea. And righteousness is related to the covenants offered by God to the Jewish people and those who obey them. But these apostles had just experienced the epitome of unrighteousness, the betrayal and crucifixion of the Son of Man, the innocent Lamb of God, the only begotten Son of the Father, God Himself. The conspiracy against Jesus was ruthless, lawless, and unrighteous. But Jesus doesn't come to ask the disciples to correct this unrighteousness, to seek vengeance. No, instead, he comforts those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he does so with those three words a second time. Peace be with you. How often do we hear of unrighteousness? It's a daily thing for those who follow the news, and it's often our instinct to have a desire for justice, for punishment for the unrighteous. And this does happen in a lawful society. But we need to hunger and thirst for our own righteousness, that we might walk together with the Lord. Vengeance ultimately is His. We need to walk in righteousness, seeking the salvation of our soul. And to do so, we need that third beatitude. Blessed are the merciful. According to St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Faustina, the saint who inspired Divine Mercy Sunday, mercy is the highest and greatest attribute of God. Think about it. We say it in three languages today. Lord, have mercy on us. Kyrie eleison. Miserere nobis. And as Psalm 136 tells us, in each of its 26 verses, His mercy endures forever. Because of original sin, it is difficult, maybe even impossible, for us to walk perfectly in righteous lives. It's when we fail that we seek the mercy of God, especially through the sacrament of confession that Jesus gave the church when He breathed on the apostles in today's gospel. But remember what the Beatitudes said. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. We may hunger and thirst for righteousness, we may mourn, but since we are made in the image and likeness of God, we must be merciful. When we are merciful, we imitate God and we are godlike. And God's mercy toward us is contingent on our showing mercy for others. We'll pray shortly, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In truth, Joseph of Arimathea probably did permanently give away his family tomb. After the resurrection, it's doubtful that it was ever used again. Now it's called the Holy Sepulchre, and a famous church is built over the empty tomb. But Joseph can take credit for all three of those beatitudes. He was a follower of Jesus who mourned his death. He hungered and thirsted for righteousness in following the law. And his gift of mercy to our crucified Lord all but guaranteed that he be shown mercy, divine mercy, because his mercy endures forever.